then I show them, no, this is why it does work, because you're doing the bulk of the reading to them. They're only responsible for their own readers, and if that's too much, you can scale it back. You can use some audiobooks to lighten the load. But right. I take the responsibility. I mean, I have an eighth grader, I'm still reading aloud to her because she cannot handle the quantity of reading. But if she was in school, she would have to read her science textbook and her history textbook and her English, you know, and she would be overwhelmed. So this is how Sunlight can work, even with a child that is dyslexic. And it's a book program, you know, which seems like it would go the other way. But you show them how it can work.
So it feels like we feel comfortable telling stories to explain things already. We listed off.
Is not getting carried away.
Yeah. And keeping it short to the point. And don't not start crying yourself.
Yeah.
That happens too, but I think that just makes us more real.
Yeah.
We don't have to cry at every person, but I don't know.
That would make for longer conversations. That would be.
I do think that sets someone apart, though. It's the fact that we are real homeschool moms with real issues.
We're compassionate.
And we're compassionate, and we care about our customers, and we will say,
and we walk.
So let's talk a little bit about asking better questions. We listed off a whole ton of questions that we asked to get people engaged into a conversation. So I want to go through a little activity of, you know, 10 questions that you commonly ask, specifically focused on what information do you need to know to make a recommendation?
Ages.
What else? Number of kids.
Grade level.
Are they academically average
or
advanced or special needs?
Yeah, strong readers.
What is your desire? Do you want to teach all 12 children in one core? Or, you know, I mean,
possible.
What is your...
Unless they're, what would be tuplets?
Well, you know, I had that phone call. Okay, I mean, what is your desire? Because it may be... that you don't really, you know, maybe your oldest is very independent, and even though they're only a year and a half apart, maybe they don't want to combine. I mean, you do need to know their desires.
What are their goals?
Yeah,
I was going to say their homeschool
style.
Their
goals, their focus.
Are they looking to go to Harvard, or are they enjoying unschooling? Like their, what do you call that? Like their personality? I guess their homeschool
personality.
What else?
What kind of learners are your kids?
Yes.
You know, Jill described one that lays under the table on top of the dog. That
matters. Auditory.
Some of those are too high for new homeschoolers.
They don't even know.
But they will usually know if their child is advanced or averaged or below
average. They're all average.
They're all above average.
No, they're all way too advanced
for kindergarten. And I could never use that.
It seems like you just think
there are no average children
behind.
They're all ahead or behind.
There's a lot of media.
Well, though, there are sometimes people that I've talked to whose kids really are behind, but they will admit that they're average, you know. They don't want to say, well, they're really behind. Oh, they're more average.
Somewhere in there, you have to be able to determine, I mean, I've never asked the question, how much money do you want to spend?
Right.
But, you know, you can tell from the conversation and some questions you ask whether or not Sunlight is a possibility for these.
Are you looking for a full package?
Yeah, questions like that.
I also like
sometimes
to try
they will let you know. Well, I don't have usually, a whole lot of
up front,
you know.
What they're like.
Even those, you want to get them an instructor's guide because then you're your customer, and they'll buy the whole package later. They'll realize it's worth it. I mean, not always, but very, very often.
So we've had a good mix of both closed and open questions. You guys familiar with those terms?
Yeah.
Closed questions being yes or no, open questions get them to drive you into more and more conversations. So in a lot of traditional sales training, the whole goal is to get away from closed questions completely and get to open questions. That's not really our goal here at all. In fact, we have to be really careful about how many open-ended questions that we ask. Otherwise, you're going to get into really, really, really long conversations. So, you know, when we get into like, so, you know, like the, you said like, what is your desire? Like, that could open up a multi-minute multi-minute response on their end. So as you're going through and you're thinking of the questions and you're thinking of how long you've been engaged with a different person and you're looking to wrap things up a little bit more, you want to start tailoring things more to the yes, no, like, so what's your timeline? Are you looking to do things really soon? And the suggestion of an answer after you've asked a question really helps to expedite the conversation. If you leave it really wide open, some people might be showing up to the convention just because they really want to talk to someone for a really long time.
Kind of like when you ask, like, how many students you're going to have, or mm-hmm. if you ask how many kids, and they're telling you, like, well, I have a baby, and well, how many are you going to be teaching next year? Mm-hmm. So that you can focus in, like, as much as it's nice to know you have toddlers and babies, like, mm-hmm. I just want to know.
But sometimes it does help to know that, because another selling point is you're going to be able to reuse this core with mm-hmm. your little ones. So, you know, when you're looking at the future, just know that you're investing in this curriculum that you'll be able to use with the 2-year-old and the 8-month-old. Right.
But if we said, like, tell me about your kids.
I want to know what kind of reader are they, or something like that.
So these no questions that you just shook your head to, are we talking to our assistants as well about, like, these are questions we want to avoid at the beginning of the convention?
I learn really quick if
you have it. Yeah. I was just thinking.
I think that would be more intentional now that we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
To make sure I said that. I think it comes up some of your old assistants know it, but these are some of the, because sometimes I think what I struggle, how am I to train my assistants with stuff that isn't just like, you know, make sure you don't wear blue jeans, which I always put in capital letters. I need to, so this is some stuff that would really be good to talk over mm-hmm. with them and get them thinking about that, because they get in those situations they can't get out of too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you have to be careful too to ask questions that, you know, what info do I need to know the most? Don't start trying to solve their problem before you fully understand
That's
it.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, don't say, oh, well, now for your 5-year-old, this is what I recommend. Oh, well, yeah, but I have a 4-year-old, too.
Right.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Now I have to start all over or whatever, you know.
Right.
So to the next point on prioritizing your questions, we're looking to try and get a lot accomplished in a finite amount of time. Now, on those offshoot times that we have a half hour or 45 minutes while there's some session going on, you're already really, really good at those conversations, it sounds like. It's not a challenge for you to get into those conversations, not a challenge to answer those, to even like go back and forth with those folks. So when you're on a time crunch, make sure you're focusing on what do you need to know the most in order to make a recommendation, and to your point, you don't jump the gun. Like, as soon as, you know, it's like Jeopardy. Like, you got to hear the whole question before you start giving an answer. So the same thing, you got to make sure you really assess the whole situation before you really start to get it. And before you make a recommendation, it's very important that you connect with the person and you confirm your understanding of them. And the best way to do that is to use you phrasing. So you told me you have 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl, they're this age, you know, you're looking to do this. You're constantly looking to work in the word you. Because if we go out into the office and I yell, hey, some people are going to turn. If I yell, you, or like, hey, you, everyone's going to turn and look at you. Because they hear you, people are just going to assume that you're talking to me. So use the word you, because they will start to feel like you're talking more specifically to them, and they're going to start aligning themselves in the conversation a lot more, and it's a great way to really connect with them. So, big takeaways from this. Careful on the open-ended questions, right? You read a lot of sales books, they're going to tell you this is how you change everything to open-ended question. You do that, you're going to talk to 3 people at the whole show. All right. You're going to have really great long conversations with them, probably be lifelong friends, but you know, that's it. And that's not really our goal. Our goal is to try and talk to as many people as we can and have good quality conversations. When we're asking our questions, if you feel like you're starting to get off on a tangent and like, oh, wow, it's been 7-8 minutes, it's been 3 minutes, I got to start moving on to this, make sure that you're thinking of the next question that you want to ask and make sure that it's not something that's going to drive you off on another tangent. Pull it back on course and make sure what you're trying to accomplish, right? In order, we've all listed off the things that we need to know, right? We need to know how many kids, what are their ages, what's their timeline, what are they looking to accomplish. Those are the things that we really need to keep the conversation focused on as we're having the conversation, and then we can make our recommendations to them. And after we make our recommendation, we need to go all the way and talk about why sunlight's different. And so if I asked you, why is sunlight different?
Because it works down for you.
Okay, what does that mean?
that means that when you go to bed at night and you get up in the morning, like I would tell people, I would get up in the morning after a busy week and get up Monday morning and you can open your instructor's guide and just say, this book, these pages, I can just start with my kids. I didn't have to spend all weekend getting ready for it.
Cool. All right. So that brings us to our next part, the pitch. So sales in general, it's not performing, or it's performing, it's not presenting. So when we think about pitching something, this isn't like you're just going to get up in front of a bunch of people and like list this off. The whole goal of the first activity, which is the 5-word pitch, is if I asked you, that was a great example of, you gave me a very short, succinct pitch about why sunlight's different. But oftentimes, we have a hard time separating our experience from why they should buy. And we work in a lot of what we did into why they should buy and why sunlight's different. So what we don't want our prospective customer to walk away with is knowing your story better than sunlight. So the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna split the table right down the middle. I'll give you the choice. You can be on either side. And I want you to get in a group, and we'll take about 10 minutes to do this. If you guys need to like do a little bio break in the middle, go ahead and do that. But try and come up with your first, like, what is sunlight? Like, why is sunlight different? Those are your two questions. What is sunlight? Why is sunlight different? And it's going to be in 20 words or so. It might be a little bit more than that. It might be a little less than that. Then I want you to try and cut it in half. And the goal is I want you to get it down to 5 or 6 words. And then at the end, we're going to compare our 5 or 6 words with each other. Cool?
Empower your
relationship
to change the world.
We
got it.
We're done.
Tim, did you ruin?
That's our vision and mission. That's
not our vision. You just squashed that.
All right. So it's about 1 o'clock right now. Between this activity and if anyone needs to use the restroom, go for it. We'll get back together at 1:10 and go through these. Good? All right. Let's go. Yes.
I heard that, I'm like, that's sweet. You know exactly what it is. It's not
fancy,
it's not.
Well, maybe you need water,
When we're talking about, right, I heard you mention, like, oh, yeah, like, relate to these women, connect with them. Earlier, you were talking about.
You have to choose one. There's only 3 over here. How about you slide over here?
Oh, they're sending me over here, Kelly.
Now, I was just hearing, like, make your questions very short, get through the process quickly. Is that just when you're feeling as though you're crunched for time, like transition from a
It depends on the scenario, right? Okay. We have 2 scenarios at this show. We have the scenario of it's vendor time, and that's when, or booth time. So everyone's coming through. It's kind of like the cattle call.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of people coming through, and you might have 5-10 people. And at that point in time, like, it's kind of like, for lack of a better term, it's wham bam thank you. Like, you gotta.
So that's not the time to be like, let's really connect.
So for that, our whole goal with that is we want to close for the follow-up event, because we can't get anything truly accomplished at the show in that time period, and with our Nexus rules, we can't actually get a purchase at that point in time. Yeah. So in that situation, what we want to do is close for this event after the event, where like, hey, sounds like you have some great questions. Let me get a better understanding of what you are. What's a great time to follow up with you? Great. Maybe one of the sunlight experts follow up with you. Yeah. Then I'm going to be working with Tim on, like, what does that process look like? Who are the people that do that? But the goal of the show is to get as many of those as possible. Now, for the truly motivated buyer who is going to skip a session or skip a workshop or something, then we want to be able to leverage a lot of these techniques. So, having not really worked with this group before, I come in kind of like, I come in with a little bit of a generic presentation in terms of, like, here are common skills that people struggle with. So let's make sure we're focused on this. And then, as we have the conversation, I get a better understanding understanding of what the challenges are, what the needs are, what the wants are, then we kind of, you know, tailor some of it. So, you know, based on the conversations that we're having today, I'll go and make some changes to this. I'll have some follow-up stuff, and then tonight I'm going to send it over to Judy or tomorrow morning, depending on, you know, how my night goes.
So during the slow times, that's a good time to have this kind of heart-to-heart thing
Or
whatever. I mean, okay.
Just like, that makes sense. Kind of just like how this day's gone, right? Like, as we're trying to get through stuff, it's short snippets, we talk about stuff. There's a break where they're doing stuff for 10 minutes. You and I can have this offline conversation about
Okay, so, cool. You know, I just didn't pick that up, so that's good.
Cool. I'm Kevin.
Kevin? Dave.
Dave, what did you hear?
Design.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good to have, that was important. I came in last year for the first time during, like, all these SCCs met, and it was just, it's one thing to be here in the office, kind of like what they were saying, you know, like, oh, it's one thing to just be working at the office trying to tell people about it, but it's really eye-opening hearing from the actual women, moms who use it.